Is everybody in? Is everybody in? The show is about to begin.
Welcome to the podcast, Conscience That Made Us. Interviews and stories, tales from the bus. We love taking you back to when it all went down. The greatest live shows and that cheering crowd sound. It's Concerts, Concerts That Made Us, ConcertsThatMadeUs.com.
Hello, this is Mercury from Priest, and you're listening to Concerts That Made Us.
Back Mercury, you're very welcome to Concerts That Made Us.
Thank you very much. Glad to be with you.
I can't describe how excited I am now to chat to you. I've been looking forward to this one for a while. It's going to be fantastic. So Priest recently finished up a tour with Julian Kay and September Morning. How was it? How did it go?
It was a really great time. It's always great. We did some tours with Julian Kay before, so we know the guys pretty well. We continue because we have a really good friendship with them, and it's very easy to tour. No drama, you know. Everything goes smooth sailing, well-oiled machinery, all professionals. So we had a really great time. September Morning did great shows every night, you know. They're super professional, and we had a really great time. It was a really good tour, good turn ups at the shows. Some pretty many shows were sold out, and it was above expectations. So what can I say? We're very happy about it, and we're going back if not this fall. So we're going back to the US next spring for a bigger tour. It's in the making, so I don't have any dates yet, but we're definitely coming back.
Good to hear. What's it like, actually? You guys are based in Sweden, and doing a big tour like that in the States has to be pretty kind of mind melting. What's it like?
It's a very different from Sweden. Sweden is a small country, and a different culture, of course. Even if we've been force fed with American culture since a long time ago, but it is US is what it's like in the movies. It's surreal the first time you get there, and then you get used to the it's a higher tempo, I think, when you talk to people, and you have to like turn up yourself, your brain, a gear or two, you know, in order to keep. I'm a pretty mellow person, so for me, I really have to make an effort to get in the same energy as many Americans, because there is another tempo, another energy over there. It's a big country, so it's can be a really long drive sometimes. Sometimes we drove 14 hours in a day, and for them it doesn't seem like a big deal. For us it's like, okay, you can drive from bottom to top of Sweden in less amount of time, basically. I don't know, but we love it there. It's a very enthusiastic crowd, and we got a lot of fans. It's our biggest market, so we always have a lot of fun meeting everybody and perform there. It's another vibe, definitely, than Sweden. Sweden is good in many other ways, but in the US, it's about showbiz, and you can really tell when you're over.
Yeah, yeah. I really get that thing about the distance, though. I have a couple of American friends, and if I was, say, going to Dublin or Belfast for a concert, I'd be like, yeah, I have to drive like an hour and a half or maybe 3 hours to Belfast. It's really long. Okay. And they're like, are you serious? We would drive that just go to the shop, like, you know?
Yeah, they don't even, you know. I just had a conversation we're going to have a release party in our hometown in Sweden. And then I got a comment on Facebook or Instagram, I don't remember, but like, oh, are you playing anywhere else in Sweden this year? And I said, no, we're probably not. Oh, maybe I have to drive from Gothenburg. And it's like 2 hours, maybe 2.5 hours. I said, yeah, you can, compared to US distances, it's nothing, you know, it's what you compare with. So if you don't have any preferences, anything to compare with, you of course think 2.5 hours is a pretty long time, I guess.
Yeah, true, true. Now, something I'm intrigued by is Priest played Ireland twice back in 2022. You played Dublin and Belfast. When can we expect to see you back on Irish shores, or can we?
I hope we will come to Ireland in October. I hope. Our booker is in the making, booking a tour, a European tour. And I just assume that Ireland is going to be on that, because we have always a good time in Ireland, and it's the crowd is great, so we love it. So we're dying to come back for many reasons. We last time in Dublin, we have a favorite little pub there, which we get the best Guinness, you know. It's called the Bankers in Dublin, and we usually hang out there before and after shows. So it's I will tell our booker too. He must include it. So
glad to hear it.
hopefully in October. Hopefully,
good. Something to look forward to. So now, yeah. You guys, your fourth studio album, Dark Pulse, is set to release on May 31st. It's a very fitting name because you've gone pretty dark on this one. Take us a bit deeper into it if you can.
It's a darker album, of course. It's called Dark Pulse, and I tried to find a title that would fit with all the songs, basically. It's delves deeper into maybe, you know, so addiction and maybe some fetish elements, but it's also danceable and a humoristic album. So it's not only weird, dark, and it's touches subjects that can be a bit taboo for certain people. For some people, it's definitely not. You know, we're not going super, super dark like maybe other bands do that sings about, like Suicide Command was singing about torture and stuff. We're not going that dark, but it's a funny album. It's inspired by the time I was living in Berlin back in 2011, and I went to some clubs, and that's also when and where I came up with the idea for this band Priest, and that's where the seed for this project started. So it's a little both back and forth to that time, and also dealing with some subject in private life, which I think many people can go through. So I think it's been a fun album to do, but we also made sure it's humoristic and not humoristic like you laugh your ass off, but it's some tongue-in-cheek elements in there. But it's also a prominent cyberpunk touch. And of course, we're doing electronic music, so you will automatically feel a backdrop of sci-fi and grittier cyberpunk, maybe. But it's based on real life events and experiences. But I think it's interesting when you take your own life and put it against a sci-fi backdrop, like a Blade Runner backdrop or something. So that's what we're trying to do, to mix it up a little bit, to make it interesting and also appealing more pop cultural wise, basically.
I like it. What was the original vision for it, and how close do you think the final version is?
Yeah, that's it started out with a couple of songs, and I noticed it was more bassline driven. So when we started, it was leftovers from our former album Body Machine. And when I say leftovers, I don't mean the song was lesser in quality. It was just like they didn't really match into what Body Machine was about. So we saved them and later, actually. So the thing was, we're trying to do a double album, right? Or maybe even a trilogy at the same time, because we had a bunch of songs, but then we realized maybe it's a little too much to handle right now.
if you're not like do like Smashing Pumpkins or rent a house and record different songs in different rooms, you know. And no, but so it started to take shape with those five songs, and then the feeling came, what name should we have? It was called Body Machine 2 in the beginning, but then it felt like this is going somewhere else. Then we came up with the title Dark Pulse, and then it was easier to like finalize the second half of the album when you had a title clear, because then it was like, okay, we know where we're going now. So I think we landed pretty much where we wanted to, but because of we halfway through the recording, the vision actually came, you know, for the album. So if it makes sense.
It does. So, it does.
It's an organic process. I think sometimes the title of the album makes you change, go back and change some lyrics, you know, or a bit, it's, to make it fit together more holistically, you know. So yeah, it's an organic process, and I try to also like happy accidents to keep them, not to have a too streamlined vision and never deviate from that. I'm glad if I get influenced on the way and I can change direction and like see where it goes, you know. So it's a lot of that in it as well. But in the end it's your taste that determines where you're gonna land. So, and also I learned to be a bit annoying towards the producer and not say I'm happy too early. So I'm really listening a lot and see this, we can do this better. How about changing this? And I learned how to do it in a not so annoying way. Basically, I do long lists of changes that so he can do all the changes at once and not have endless mail chains with like, you know, can we change this and up with that? I try to like be very concrete and have all the info. Just please look over this. And yeah, I think we were pretty close to what we hoped for. And I'm very proud of this album and very excited also to finally release it and show it to you and everybody else.
I'd say so. I personally can't wait for it now to drop. You actually did some crowdfunding for it as well. And, you know, that's an interesting approach. It must have added a lot of uncertainty and stress to the process, did it?
Yeah. I mean, we choose not to sign with a record label for this one. And, because we looked through the contracts and we have a good lawyer here in Sweden and we're looking everything through. We think everybody should do that. And it's really no reason to sign with a small to mid-sized record label if you are willing to roll up your sleeves and do some hard work, you know, and read how you do it. So if you have the knowledge and or just the will to do it, you can, as a band, release your own record and do it very well and keep the larger part of the income from that and actually make a probably better living doing that than to be on a label that keeps a lot of the income, you know. So even if you're the project gets bigger on a label, you're still gonna get more even if you're a little bit smaller releasing it yourself. And it was good. We had a good response on the campaign for the album, and we're very happy about that, and that made us a bit relieved actually. So we can so now we're actually sitting and packing packages and sending, because we are the record label ourselves. So we're starting shipping now this days. Yeah, yesterday we started to ship out stuff. So some lucky people will have the album pretty soon. And but it's a lot of stress for sure. But if you're willing to tackle it, it's very rewarding. And I encourage every band and artist to go independent. I think it's good, and you sleep better at night because, you know, if something goes wrong, it's on you. You know, it's not like you have to be irritated at some. Oh, why don't I do what we said? You know, I know it's a lot of good labels out there, so I'm not saying that. You know, I know it's a lot of good labels that there's really good work out there. So, and sometimes that's the best way to go. We were about to sign with another label here in Sweden, which does a great work, but we just felt that we have the knowledge and experience ourselves. So for us, it's really no reason to sign on. Maybe if you go with a major label, because they can do so much for a project, and have a lot more budget and muscle behind them, so you can make things happen very fast and bigger. But I like this independent size state we are in now. Actually, I don't feel like we don't have to grow much bigger, maybe a little. So, but I think we're on a handleable. I don't know how you say it. It's
manageable.
What? Excuse me.
Manageable, maybe.
Manageable size of a band right now. If we go bigger, we probably will need to hire people, you know, so in order to make it handle it. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you found a sweet spot. You know, I'm hearing a put like that. It's a wonder more bands, or nearly every band, don't do it like that.
No, I understood that too. I know Julian K is a band that does it like that, but some other bands doesn't. But I also think it's also we practically been forced into doing this because we were about to sign with a major label in Sweden, but we got like blacklisted. It was. Don't ask me. You can ask anything. But we were about to get signed, and then the girl at that major label said to us, "Oh no, there were some people from another band in Sweden called Ghost, and their management have told her not to sign us because." Of emotional reasons. And so we weren't signed because they were afraid that if we were signed, that it was a chance that Ghost will leave that label and go to another label instead. And so the question went up to the CEO for the Swedish office of this major label, and it was decided not to sign us. And then other people got like cold feet, and we were also aired on a radio station, and they was called up actually by the same people. And so we were a bit, you know, nobody practically wanted to touch us there for a while. It was a little, yeah. So we went independent, but then we also, our last record, we collaborated with an American label, Cleopatra Records, which we love, and we still, they have still have a license deal on Body Machine for a couple of more years. So we it was easier over in the States to get connections and to start working with labels. But in Sweden, it was a little bit harder for us, at least, because of that.
Oh, my gosh.
So big, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I actually can't believe that. For anybody that doesn't know, I'm sure everybody knows, but you guys are from the same town as Ghost. You grew up together, and a couple of you were actually in Ghost. Now, unfortunately, that didn't work out, but it seems like you guys were screwed over back when you were in Ghost, but they're still actively trying to repress you guys now. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy when you think about it, but that's the way it is. And It was, it is what it is. But that also led us into this more independent situation, which we today I'm very happy about, because it means that we have total control over everything. And it's a pretty comfortable situation. So despite all the BS, it ended up pretty good. It's not ended up like it's over. We have a lot of, I feel right now it's energy is starting to coming back, because it's been a couple of years that we just struggled on, you know, and tried to make the project and the band survive, because that's the, we were on the brink of, like, the band was so close to not be around anymore for several times during the last couple of years. But then we saw we have our great fans and great people following us, and we had so much support from them. So it felt like we, and also it showed up when we had to have some fundraisers for some releases, because we didn't have any other income. So, and their fans have been very supportive and helped us out more than once. So we're super grateful. And when we have fans like that, I mean, then we can go on, you know, forever.
You can do anything. Yeah.
Oh, and that's very, but it's just now I felt, and I said it to our producer, Simon Söderberg. We talked yesterday, the day before yesterday, about the next album, not Dark Pulse, but to start the recording of another album. And I said also, I felt now, of course, you're in Dark Pulse also, but even more now, I feel like we have a confidence that coming back to us, because it feels like we're on the other side of all hardships we've been through now. So, and now we're back on a level that the confidence is really back now. And after this US tour and see the response now. So now we're starting to feel that, you know, spark again that we maybe felt on our first album, you know. So we really, it's been a journey, and I'm really happy now that we fought on and struggled on and went through all the
stuff. Only made you stronger.
Yeah. In this case, yes. And I see very brightly on the future right now. So
glad to hear it. You know, it's obviously a bit of a touchy subject, but say 5-10 years down the line, do you ever see you and Ghost putting things to rest and maybe sharing the same stage?
Well, I'm not closing any doors, but I think it's a long road ahead for that to happen. It will, if that would happen, that would have to be a couple of conversations before that, to say the least. And maybe, you know, but I don't think so, to be honest. I don't see why, you know. It's in the past for me. So, and I'm not holding any grudges or anything like that. That's long gone. So I'm just, I think certain behaviors and how people treat people, I don't think you should take that very lightly if somebody decides to, you know, backstab and stuff. Hey, I why should you? I can brush it off. I'm not feeling anything about it. I just, like, why should I just let it slip? You know, if somebody have treated you or your family member bad, you know, why should I just let it slip? You know.
True. Yeah, and you clearly don't need it anyway.
No, but no, that's nothing I'm thinking about so much nowadays. It's like I suddenly did back in 2015 or something, you know, it was fresh for me. But now it's so long ago now. So it's I have too much to do with this. But of course, it prolongs when you hear stuff and like we can't get signed because of emotional reasons. And so it's like it continues externally from you, you know.
Then, yeah.
Then how should you react to that? I don't know. I tried to send an email and said, is this true? To Tobias, but I didn't get an answer. So, you know.
Right. That says a lot there when you don't even get an answer.
Yep, I think so.
Yeah. So the podcast is called Concerts That Made Us. So I need to ask you some concert-related questions, if you don't mind. So first off, as a concert goer, what concerts have made you?
I'm pretty clear about that. When I was 14, I was at a festival in Sweden. And at the same day, I saw, okay, in order now. So now it's not like in a particular band. But when I came there, I caught the last half of Wu-Tang Clan's set with all members. And after that, I saw, this was in 1997. After that, I saw Rage Against the Machine.
Oh, man.
And after that, I saw the unknown band at the time in Sweden, Rammstein.
Holy crap.
Having fire flamethrowers out over the audience, you know.
Yeah.
But I had to leave that concert in order to catch the Prodigy on the same day. So that was like, nothing tops that, you know.
Yeah.
I was like in heaven, you know. That was, and I think Daft Punk play like, later that night too, but you know, it was I get shakes when I think about it. It was so I didn't know what to do. It was like so I was overwhelmed.
Yeah. That's actually kind of a bad first concert experience because it's so good, nothing will compare to it.
I think I came close when I saw Kraftwerk in 2004, Minimum Maximum tour. That was like, ooh. But that was also because I was such a big fan, and you know, and it was so cool with the visuals. It was the new Kraftwerk you haven't really seen. Now everybody's seen it with the, you know, the suits and everything and the visuals, but then it was new and that was really, really cool. That was amazing.
And for any listeners that haven't caught one of your show, the unlucky ones that haven't, what can they expect? Lay it all out first, if you can.
They can expect a high octane show. It's a lot of energy and we give a lot from the stage to the audience. So I even go out to the crowd sometimes, you know, and interact with the audience. We deliver poppy tracks also, but we try in a live situation, we go for the more energetic tracks. Maybe we calm it down a bit with a ballad or two, depending on the length of the set, but we try to make a great impression. And if we have a growing budget, we're gonna also implement more visuals. We sometimes we hire LED screens, but they're pretty expensive, and but it pays off because the shows get so much better. So if there's visual possibilities, we have great people that we work with that creates really good visuals as well. So it's a visual experience, but if we have the money in the future, we will buy sub basses like the Prodigy did in 1997. So we have extra bottom yeah, you know, but it's a high octane show. It's fun. It's visual. You're gonna feel like you going into an 80s sci-fi movie with cyborg, you know, but with blasting great music. So you won't regret it. I can promise anybody that comes to a Priest show that they will be happy.
Sounds like one hell of a night. Oh my God, it sounds perfect. Jeez.
Awesome. Yeah, please. If we come to Ireland, we'll make sure you come by.
I'll be there, definitely. Definitely. I'll be queuing 3 weeks beforehand.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks.
If you think of all the gigs you've played over your entire career, is there one that sticks out as the highlight, the most perfect?
That's a tricky one. But because it's many factors, many factors to take into consideration. For the band itself, it's of course if you have a good sound on stage, if it was a good sounding room, if the sound engineer did a good job, or you know, those factors play into the experience of the band, but none in the audience is actually maybe aware of those things. But I would actually say we had one of them was on the last tour. We played Whiskey A Go-Go in Hollywood, and it was a great sounding room. The crowd was great. It was packed, and we had a great time on stage. Everything seemed to just be locked in on that show. So that was a very satisfying and also a classic venue with a lot of history. And so it was like all the factors on that gig, like just came into place. It felt like, so that's definitely one of the highlights, but we played many good shows. Dark Force Fest. We ended the US tour with Dark Force Fest in New Jersey. And it's like a gothic festival, Wave Boutique Treffen or something here in Europe. Not as big though, but it was fantastic. A great crowd, great over the top, great response. It was like a room with 2,500 people, and everybody was screaming. Like I was like, "What the fuck is happening?" You know. it was a great. I didn't expect it, you know. So it couldn't ask for a greater finale of the tour. So two of the best shows right there, and also feels like we're getting better and better. So and gaining more and more confidence before a crowd. Of course, the more you play, the better you get. Otherwise, it would be strange. But so when that grows, also you get more loose and you can improvise more on stage and have more fun on stage. And we certainly feel that more and more, whilst maybe 5 years ago, 4 years ago, it was like, okay, it was more like we have to make this work, you know. Now it feels like we have fun on stage and we can improvise and do some stuff that we wouldn't dare to do maybe 3-4 years ago. So last tour has been a blast, actually.
I like it. Now, I usually flip that question around and ask, is there a gig you would consider maybe the worst, where everything went wrong, and how did you overcome it?
Ooh. Yeah. I don't know if everybody knows, but Priest had a different singer in the first album and the first EP we did. And right before the tour, we had some struggles in the band, which resulted that our third guy, the synth guy, had to leave the band. We decided that he couldn't stay anymore. After that, the singer decided to quit. Which was a bit of a surprise. And that was right before we had two big festivals in Germany and a European tour with Aesthetic Perfection, band, and also a tour for the fall booked. So we had to find another singer, you know?
Yeah.
And we really tried. We only had like 2 weeks or something to find one, you know, but nobody could take time off with that short notice and learn all the songs. And, you know, it was like I tried every contact I could. So I am the songwriter, right? So I knew the lyrics, of course. So, and I sang in other projects before, but this was written for a particular voice, you know, with a particular range, and so I just called up a vocal coach and tried, you know, to how good can I be, how fast can you make me learn this stuff. And the first show I did was Oberhausen in Germany, 2019, March, and that was because I practiced, you know, the movements in my living room, and I didn't think the stage gonna be that big, but it turned out we played the big stage in Turbinenhalle in Oberhausen in Germany, and that was like four times as wide as my living room. So it turned out I was like exhausted, like I almost fainted, because I was like, oh, in this part of the song I go to the left side of the stage, and this, and it was, the distances were too long, so I was running around and getting exhausted. I couldn't, it was a disaster. I tried to mask it, of course, mask it, but but it was like I was about to faint several times, and I was like almost blacked out several times.
Oh my God.
And doing this, and it was like 3,000 people in the audience or something like that. So it was like, oh my God. So I was like, damn, why? It was madness, to be honest. It was total madness. It shouldn't been done like that, but we didn't have much of a choice at that time. And I felt also, I was a bit pissed off. I said, nobody else should dictate if to pull the plug on this project or not. Like, I was like fueled by some anger also, like, no, I'm not gonna let somebody else, you know, have the power over this project, you know. So, but I mean, the more you practice and get into it, then the better you get. And since we all had tours already booked, it was just to go in there, do the best. I practiced like hell. I practiced every day for like years singing, you know, and now it feels like it really pays off, you know, and I feel like my technique is really good now. And I can do, I have a more diverse, not maybe better voice, because the original singer was trained, this classically trained singer. But I have a more diverse, I can go uglier in my voice than I think, because I sing a song on the first album as well, because the original singer couldn't transform his voice into getting ugly, you know.
Right. Yeah.
But I sing a song called Nightmare Hotel on that album, because I think I'm pretty excited about the next album, because we're gonna have a different recording setup, and I'm gonna record more from my own home studio, actually. Then that means also that you can warm up your voice for like 2 hours if you need to, you know, until you feel you have the total control over it. And then you go, and when it feels right, then you go and lay down the track. And compared to going into a studio after you worked for a day and you have 1 hour and you have to set up the mic, and the producer says, yeah, okay, we're recording now, and then you just do your best, you know. I heard that Tom York, at one point he warmed up his voice for 5 hours or something, you know.
Oh my God.
So it's a luxury to have to actually be able to warm up your voice, feel when it feels right, then you just can go down to your studio setup and record with really good equipment, which we actually have now, which we didn't have before. Yeah. So it's going to be a completely different sounding record than the next one after Dark Pulse. It's going to be the first time we record this way. And the producer have his studio in Stockholm, of course. And of course, we're going to meet up and be in the same room also. But we're gonna try this this setup this time. So to answer, to overcome it, practice. And plan out your movements on stage. You're not Superman, so stand still. If you don't know what to do, don't move too much, because to be able to sing, you need some air left in your lungs, and don't run around, you know.
Very good advice.
Yeah.
And before we dive into the last couple of questions, then, future plans that are set in stone. I know the album is out on the 31st. The release party is the 17th. Is there anything else you can share with us?
Actually, the release party is the 17th in Linköping here. And the album, as you said, is out the 31st of May. The album is called Dark Pulse. So check it out. And it's available for pre-order basically everywhere right now. I think in Ireland, I don't know if you have Rough Trade there. I think it's on pre-order on Rough Trade stores and on Amazon and everywhere. So check it out. Check also out our website, priestnexus.com, which you can find all the links to social media and everywhere. We also have a web shop called airghoul.com, which you can go and find really good stuff, t-shirts and, you know, everything. So feel free to check that out. And if you see the name Priest in your hometown, coming and performing, don't hesitate. You will not regret it. Thank you so much, Brian.
Brilliant. Brilliant. We'll dive into the last couple. These are a couple of quick, random, fun music questions, but I'm intrigued to see your answers. So the first one, what are you currently obsessed with? It can be anything at all.
Oh, I'm obsessed with the movies, Criterion editions, DVDs, Blu-rays. I can't stop watching movies. And especially extra material, commentary tracks and interviews and stuff like that. Don't ask me why. I'm just like to know everything about a movie. And I think Criterion provides the best editions.
I'm a bit like that myself. I find myself watching the movie and diving onto IMDb and looking up all the trivia and going down rabbit holes and everything.
Exactly. Yeah, that's okay. We're thinking alike.
the next one, it's a bit of an odd one. If you had to spend 24 hours locked in a room with any musician from history, living or dead, who would it be?
Johann Sebastian Bach.
Right. Thinking outside the box there.
It's like it's the best, so I mean.
I like it. And the final one, so what is your go-to album? What's an album you constantly go back to?
We touched on the subject actually. It's a hard one, but one actually I keep returning to over and over and over and over again. I do that with many albums, but I think Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness with Smashing Pumpkins. It's
one of my favorites as well. One hell of an album. Never gets old.
I mean, you can't top. I mean, that it's so good. It's long, but it's like sometimes I take the red disc and sometimes I go for the blue. And I think that's an album you should listen to on CD. You know, it's a CD album. It's they fiddle around with the track order on the vinyl release, and I didn't really get into that, but I understand Billy Corgan when he says you have to think that every vinyl has a side, and that side has to have a special order to make sense. But for me, that even okay computer with Radiohead, of course, is you should listen to it on CD, not on vinyl, you know. I think. No, but I would say that one. I keep returning to that over and over again.
I like a perfect choice. Listen, Mercury, it has been an absolute blast. Now I have really enjoyed this one. Thanks a million.
Thank you, man. And likewise, it's been so nice talking to you. And I really appreciate the calm the vibe you have in your podcast here. I really love it.
Hey guys, I really hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please rate and review us on iTunes and Spotify. And if you're interested in signing up to Bandbuilder Academy, use the link in the show notes below and enter the code CONCERTS and you'll receive 10% off. So, until next time, keep rocking.
Hey, what are you guys still doing here? The show is over. It's over. You can go home. Go on. We'll see you next time. We'll be here. Bye.